All right, brethren, let's turn to Acts, Acts chapter 2. At the end of the message last time, I mentioned Martha asking to be baptized. And when she told me that, it surprised me. It caught me by surprise when she came and talked to me. And I don't know why it usually does. I remember you, Cheryl, and I was thinking about, I had noticed that as I was preaching, somebody was paying attention and seemed to be really rejoicing. And when Cheryl talked to me, that's who I thought she was going to be talking about. And she said she won't be baptized. It surprised me. It shouldn't be a surprise to me or to any of us, though. We should preach expecting the Lord to save his people. I don't know if I heard this or if I read it, but sometime recently there was a story about Spurgeon, and there was a pastor who came to him. He was down and said that he was discouraged. There hadn't been a lot of conversions under his preaching. And Spurgeon said to him, he said, "Well, you don't expect the Lord's going to save somebody every time you preach, do you?" And the man said, "Well, no, I don't expect that." And Spurgeon said, "Well, there's the problem." He said, "You should preach every time expecting God's going to save somebody." And the reason we can expect that is found here in Acts 2 at the end of verse 47. It says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." I want to preach on this subject of such as should be saved. Let's go back up and read just for context. You know, Peter had stood up and preached. We'll look at some of that. But verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for or because of the remission of sin, confessing Christ, confessing your sins have been remitted, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He'll seal you, as Paul said in Ephesians 2. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.'" That's what had happened to them. He called them. "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, 'Save yourselves from this untoward generation.' Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Imagine that, 3,000 one day, one message. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship," steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, "and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And this is what I just want us to focus on. The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, first of all, we see who does this work. The Lord. The Lord did this. The Lord did it. Jesus of Nazareth, that man who walked this earth, is risen. He's risen. He is life. He is the life of his people, and he is alive. He is the living God. And he's the living God-man. And he's risen. And he's at the right hand of the Father. Now, he conquered sin. And he conquered the grave. And he conquered hell. And the grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. And he arose and he is there right now, alive at the right hand of the Father. That was Peter's message. That's what Peter declared to them on the day of Pentecost. Look there at Acts 2 and look at verse 29. He said, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David." He'd been quoting some of the Psalms that David wrote. And he said, "Now let me speak to you freely about the patriarch David. He's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, when he said that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh to see corruption." You know there that David wasn't saying that Christ went to hell. He suffered hell on the cross. That's what his people deserved. And he bore that living death on the cross. But the word here is the grave. He didn't suffer him to stay in the grave. He didn't suffer his body to decay at all. "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear." The Lord's doing this, he said. That same Jesus, he shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David's not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. We just sang that we want to know more of his throne and his riches and glory and what he's doing from his throne. And this is what we're talking about. The Lord worked everything there that took place that day on the day of Pentecost. God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So when any time a people are assembled and united together and the word goes forth and it's blessed and people are called out to believe on the Lord Jesus, the Lord did that. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. Now, what did the Lord do? The Lord added to the church. Peter said, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. He said there, this promises to as many as the Lord our God shall call. He did this. He did this. Look over at Ephesians 1. In verse 22, Ephesians 1:22 says, "He put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." Our Lord Jesus Christ is the head, and each member together make up his body. And this church is the fullness of him. In other words, he won't be full till every member is called in. And he's the head, and the Lord filleth all in all. The Lord added to the church. The Lord added to the church. And you hath he quickened who were dead. Now you think about when our Lord walked this earth. It was the Lord who called his apostles. The Lord did that. He added them. He called them and assembled them. And just like all his disciples, he's the one who's calling them. And he quickened them and he gave them faith and he assembled them. And he sent them forth to preach his word. He gave them the word to preach. He gave them the heart to preach. He gave them the spirit to preach and the ability to preach. You just think about the Apostle Peter. This is how we know this is all of the Lord. The same Peter who denied the Lord three times and led the apostles away from the gospel and away from the ministry stood up on the day of Pentecost before that great multitude and preached Christ boldly. The Lord did that. The Lord gave him the Spirit and gave him the power to do that. And so when they went forth preaching, anytime anybody was made to hear that word, just like it was here at the day of Pentecost, anytime anybody was pricked in their heart and made to see their need of the Lord Jesus, the Lord did that. The Lord did that. And then when he was crucified, this shows you this is of the Lord. When he was crucified, the apostles and the disciples scattered. And they had a mind to get out of Jerusalem. They just seen the Lord Jesus crucified. They had a mind to leave Jerusalem altogether. And the Lord Jesus assembled them. He came to them and he assembled them. And he assembled with them. And he kept showing them all these proofs of who he is and what he had accomplished. Look back there at Acts 1 in verse 3. Acts 1, 3, it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God and being assembled together with them. Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. He told them to wait there till the Holy Spirit was poured out, just like he promised. But do you see how even after he went to the cross and ascended from the grave, he came back and assembled them. And he assembled with them. And he gave them all these proofs. Well, brethren, he's still doing that. Our Lord Jesus Christ is still assembling his people. He's still assembling together with his people. And he's still giving us infallible proofs of who he is and what he's accomplished through the preaching of the gospel. He's still doing this for his church. We are separated by hills and valleys and miles. Not our Lord. He's in glory, but he said wherever he's assembled his people together, he'll be there, and he's in the midst of his people. It's God which worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. He's in the midst of his people. And he keeps his people assembled to preach his word. They all had this vain idea of what Christ would do. They thought he was going to establish a kingdom like David's, and they had this, it was an ideal that they imagined of how it was going to be and even how the church was going to be. And very soon they found the apostles arrested and beaten. Very soon they found troubles within the church, even amongst those that the Lord had truly called. But the Lord didn't stop assembling with them. He kept them assembled and he kept ministering to them through the word, and he kept adding to them, adding to the church, and he kept growing them he had already added. He kept growing them through the word, through his providence, the things he was teaching. The Lord added to the church. Now, he's been doing the same for his church ever since. He's been doing the same. He gathers, he assembles his people, and he's in the midst of his people. And he is the one ministering to his people through the preaching of the word, through the Holy Spirit. He's growing each believer up into him, and those he's already called. And he's going to continue to add to the church. Look over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 10. He that descended, it's the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. Why? That he might fill all things. That he might do it. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's who he's doing this for, his body, his church. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, till we're all given faith to rest in him, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What did he just tell us the church is? It's his body. It's the fullness of him. You and I, as long as we're in this life, we're not going to be a perfect man. None of us are going to be perfect. Now, you're growing in grace and knowledge of Him, but what He's talking about right here is when His body's complete, when He's called every one of His members into His body, it will be the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And He's doing this that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You've heard the truth now. You know the gospel, and you can't be deceived by a false gospel because the Lord's working in your heart. He's teaching you in your heart. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. And you know when it's a stranger's voice and it's not the gospel. And if that's Him working in His people. And it says here, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom? It's all from Christ. The whole body is fitly joined together. The only way anybody can be added and fitly united with His people is by Christ doing it. That's the only way. And that's the only ones that are. That's really the only ones that are His body. It's the ones He's worked us in. And they're compacted. They're cemented together by that which every joint supplies. He's using every member. Every member is needed, just like every member of the body. And it's all according to His effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So our Lord does this, and our Lord's the one who adds to the church, and He's promised. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. This is His promise. That's His promise. Now, thirdly, how often does He add? How often does He add to the church? It said the Lord added to the church daily. Daily. This blessed my heart. This word daily means at God's appointed time. It's God's appointed time. God predestinated the time when He shall send the Spirit, bring His child unto the gospel, preaching of the word, send the Spirit, and give us the heart, the Spirit of adoption. Ephesians 1:5, He said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. You know, Ezekiel talked about the babe cast out in the field. And the Lord said, when I came to you, it was the season of love. That's what this predestinated time is. It's the season of love. When He comes and He sends forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. And He gives you this Spirit of adoption. It's a predestinated time that He has set. The Father has set it. Daily, somewhere in this world, daily, we may not know about it here, but daily, somewhere in this world, the Lord is adding to His church. He's adding somebody to His church daily, bringing them in, calling them, giving them faith, bringing them to Him daily. But even when we don't see it, even when we don't see converts here, remember this too. Every day, the Lord is working all things together, not just for the good of you who He has called, but He's working all things together in the process of bringing His people and calling them and adding them to the church. He's doing that every day. Long before you ever believed the gospel, long before you or me, either one, ever heard the gospel and were given faith to believe the gospel, everything the Lord was working in our lives every single day was bringing us to this appointed hour when we would hear the gospel and be added to the church. Everything. Everything. Everything that's coming to pass in our life right now is ruled by our Lord. Everything. And He is working this for us right now, growing us up into Him through this gospel. But He's also working everything to draw His people and add them. I've preached the gospel in places and go away and not know what the Lord's going to do with it. You know the word of the Lord never returns to Him void. But you didn't see him do anything. And a lot of years went past. The seed was sown, but a lot of years went past. And then the Lord brought him to here and added to the church. He's doing it in his time, but all along, everything he's working is daily adding to the church. Though we might not see that time he does it till the time he brings it to pass. But it's always him daily bringing his people to the gospel. We don't know who they are right now, but he does. He does. And he's working everything together for the good of his people, even those he has not called yet. The Lord added to the church daily. That gives me great comfort. That gives me great comfort. You can't, you know, really we all should know this. We all should feel this way. I felt this when I first came here because it really dawned on me. I can't make anybody come hear the gospel. I can't make anybody stay. He has to do that. But you should feel the same way because we all need each other to have the gospel. And we can't make each other continue. But when he does it, he does it. And you're going to continue. He's going to keep his people. And that's comfort. That's assurance. And that's joy for those we love, knowing he's calling all his people. He's got the time set. He's doing it on a daily basis. Now, lastly, I want you to see this. Who's he adding daily? It says here, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That word saved means such as have been saved. It means such as are being saved. It means such as who have been made whole. That's what that word means. Well, who should be made whole? Who should be saved? It's such as should be saved. Who are they? All those the Father everlastingly loved. He chose his people in Christ in divine election. And really, when he chose us in Christ, because he trusted his people to Christ, we were saved right then. We were made whole right then. I love to read Romans 8 and read of God's purpose. And it's all in the past tense. It's all in the past tense. He did it all. When did he do all that? Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 says, he blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And we were in Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings, holy and without blame in our Lord Jesus. And now, that was so. We were saved in him from eternity, in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then when Christ came and he fulfilled the law and he laid down his life in a room instead of his people and he bore the wrath of God for his people and cried, "It is finished," we were saved. He sealed our pardon. He brought in everlasting righteousness. We were justified in him. He purged our sins by his blood and made us the righteousness of God in him. And so, this is who should be saved. The Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Who are they? Well, the Father chose them in Christ. Christ redeemed them. He justified them. Justice demands they be called. They are such as should be saved. They should be, the Spirit of God should give them faith and give them life and give them faith, grant them repentance and bring them to Christ and add them to this church. It should be. It should be. Remember, they might be new to us. Lord, he may bring his child in here and quicken them and give them faith. And you and I had never even knew them before. But he knew them, and they weren't new to him. And they've always been. He adds them in our sight, but they've always been in the church. They've always been in the church. He wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world was. Christ said, "I laid down my life for the sheep." He knew who he was laying down his life for, and he purchased us. So they got to be quickened, and they shall be. If there's one left out, if there's just one left out, his body won't be full. Christ's body will not be complete. The church is the fullness of Him. He's the head, we're the body. And it must be full. Must be full. And shall be. He said, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. That's what He's doing. That's what He's doing. What is this? I said to you that such as should be saved, such as should be made whole. Look over at Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. This woman with the issue of blood. In Matthew 9, verse 20. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind Him and touched the hem of His garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch His garment, I shall be whole. I shall be saved. And it's going to be a lot more than just her issue of blood. You and me got an issue of blood. We got an issue of blood. Born of our father Adam, conceived in sin. How are we going to be made whole? I mean made whole. Look what He said. But Jesus turned him about, and when He saw her, He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And a woman was made whole from that hour. Peter, not only was he used on the day of Pentecost, the Lord used him to go to the Gentile Cornelius. And the Lord called Cornelius and others in his house who were gods. And Peter, when they came down there wanting to add the law, Peter said this. He said, God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. That's the sense in which they should be saved. They should be made whole. They have to be brought to believe on Christ. And when the Spirit of God creates that new heart within us, it's whole. Your new man is whole. Find me. I'll give you some homework. Go home and find me one place the Scripture says something's got to be done to your spirit when you die. Something's got to be done to your new man when you die. Something's got to be done to your body because it's of Adam. But nothing has to be done to that new man because that's of God, created of God. He's whole. He's whole. We're growing in Him, but He's whole. They were such as should be saved. They should be made whole. And God did it to Cornelius and his house by purifying their hearts through faith in Christ, just like He did the woman with the issue of blood. They've been elected. They've been redeemed. They should be made whole through faith in Christ, through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Now, brethren, that's comforting to us. You know, the devil might have them locked up tight. But the gates of hell shall not prevail. Christ will, He will get them under the gospel, and He will quicken their heart, and He will add them to the church because they should be saved. They should be saved. Our Lord's given us one thing to do. He's given us one thing to do. Hold forth the word of life. Hold forth the gospel. What He did with Peter that day and how He did it is exactly what the Lord's given us to do, to preach Christ and Him crucified, risen, reigning, victorious. That's what He's given us to do. And if He did that, save 3,000 people through that message, then that's the message we should preach. He's given us this one weapon, and He's going to conquer every enemy through this gospel. You know, the Lord said, sit here at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. You know, the church is called His footstool. The church is called His footstool. We were enemies in our minds by wicked works. He's going to bring us to His feet to trust Him. And we're going to be made His footstool. And all those that are not His are going to be made to bow and confess Him, Lord, as well. They're all going to be made His footstool. Now, let's see this illustrated in Moses. Go over to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. Remember, the Lord, this is not something new. The Lord's been declaring this in shadow and type all along. They came out of Egypt and they started across the wilderness, and Amalek attacked them. Well, Moses went up to the top of the hill and he held up the rod of God, the banner, preaching Christ to him crucified, the Lord our banner. That's what was pictured there. And look at verse 11, Exodus 17:11. It says, "And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him." That stone's Christ. Anything that's going to give us some stability is always Christ. "They put a stone under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady to the going down of the sun. And Joshua, our Savior, Jesus the Lord, discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." This gospel. "And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Because he said, the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." How are we going to win this war? We simply raise up Christ our banner through the preaching of the gospel. We call to hold forth the word of life. And here's what else we do. When you're tired, when your brother's tired and weary, we're to help hold up one another's hands. We're to help set one another on that rock so we can together keep holding up the banner, preaching the gospel through which the Lord's going to add to the church daily such as should be saved. That's how we saw him, how the stone cut out without hands is destroying those kingdoms. That's how he's doing it. He's calling his people into his kingdom. And when he's got the last one called in, all the other kingdoms will be left to themselves and destroyed. He's doing this work through the preaching of the word. "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." That just comforts my heart. That blesses my heart to know that. Now, if the Lord has called you, if you're sitting here and the Lord's called you for the first time, there was people there at Jerusalem. They thought they knew him. There was people at Jerusalem. They was there for a religious ceremony. And there's maybe some sitting here that never professed faith in Christ at all. If you've been given faith in the Lord Jesus, repent and be baptized. Confess him in believer's baptism. Unite with us in this charge that the Lord's given us to keep preaching his gospel. And for you and I who he has called, think of the privilege God's given us. Think of the privilege the Lord's given us. He's given us the privilege together to preach Christ, to send forth this word, this gospel, through which he will save people eternally. When I made that statement that Martha wanted to be baptized, we ought to all have jumped to the ceiling. If somebody had been saved from destruction, if somebody had been saved for eternity, saved in the blood of the Lamb, and he used you to do that. He used you together, sending this gospel forth to do that. What a privilege. He doesn't have to use us, but he did. What a privilege. So here's what Paul said to us. "Only let your conversation, your conduct, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. Let us help one another and rest, always rest in this comforting good news. The Lord shall add to the church daily such as should be saved." Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, for adding to the church daily such as should be saved. You've done that here. you add to those you've already called daily, growing us and teaching us, and you've added your people through the years and such as should be saved. Lord, we thank you. We ask you, Father, to give us the grace to do everything with this preeminent goal in mind, that we're here to hold forth the gospel of life, the gospel of Christ, our life. Lord, by your Spirit, we pray that you would make us of one mind, make us strive together for the faith of the gospel. Make us, teach us and correct us, and make us to truly cease conducting ourselves in any other way. Make us conduct ourselves as one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And Lord, we trust you are in our midst, just like you were when you walked this earth. And we trust you are ruling, you are reigning, you are our salvation. And we trust, Lord, you will continue to assemble with your people. You'll continue to keep us assembled. You'll continue to be in our midst, won't forsake us. And Lord, we're ever, constantly, always, entirely dependent on you. Lord, bless this word. We ask you to bless it to our hearts and to the hearts of one of your lost sheep. In Christ's name we ask you. Amen.